This is AgriPulse Daybreak for Wednesday, May 20th, brought to you by Watkinson Miller and Dairy Management Incorporated. Good morning, I'm Jeff Nally. Here's today's headlines. Rubio stumps for Lindbergh at UN. Tomato trade issue talked about. Trump on Chinese farmland. Secretary of State Marco Rubio making the case at the United Nations to push Luke Lindbergh's candidacy to lead the World Food Program. In a post to X yesterday, Rubio said he has spoken with UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres about the USDA Undersecretary for Trade and Foreign Agriculture Affairs. His appointment is essential to ensuring the UN operates with the transparency and accountability required to feed the world, Rubio wrote. I'm ready to get started, Lindbergh responded. The International Trade Commission is grappling with this question as it weighs whether anti-dumping duties on Mexican tomatoes are still necessary to protect the U.S. industry. So, is a tomato just a tomato? At a hearing on Monday, representatives from trade groups, importers, and Mexican growers tried to persuade commissioners that discerning consumers don't see tomatoes equally. They argued that consumers choose specific tomatoes to meet specific needs and do not substitute Florida-grown round tomatoes for imported specialty varieties, for example. Accordingly, they claim that the anti-dumping duties on Mexican tomatoes are no longer needed to protect the Florida industry, which has been the most vocal on the issue because they don't compete with them directly. The duties came into effect last year when the U.S. pulled out of a decades-long suspension agreement. Supporters of the tariffs, however, framed the duties as the only line of defense against rising imports and even lower prices. They also challenged the notion that Mexican tomatoes aren't directly competing with U.S. producers, arguing that the same varieties from both countries appear side by side in grocery store displays. At least one large producer of premium snack varieties has closed U.S. production because it couldn't compete with Mexican imports, the supporters noted. Without the anti-dumping order, there will be nothing to stop the flood of unfairly low-priced Mexican tomatoes coming into our market, said Bob Spencer. He's president of West Coast Tomato. But the commissioners pressed the critics of the duties to lay out what circumstances had changed since 2019 when the commission last found that imports presented a threat. Commissioner Jason Kern said, "What has meaningfully changed?" He said that consumer spending habits were, quote, exactly what we were talking about in 2019, and I spent a lot of time thinking about it, so I don't see that that has meaningfully changed. President Donald Trump's recent comment on Chinese ownership of U.S. farmland is putting him at odds with some fellow Republicans. Trump, in a recent Fox News interview, suggested it would be bad for farmers if the U.S. were to stop China from buying American cropland. You want to see farm prices drop? You want to see farmers lose a lot of money? Just take that out of the market, Trump said. Chinese ownership of U.S. agriculture real estate has been a hot-button issue for years on Capitol Hill and in states like California and Texas. China poses a real threat to Iowa agriculture and our national security. That the word of Republican Representative Randy Feenstra, who's running for governor in Iowa, he posted that on social media yesterday. It's why I've led the fight to ban China and our foreign adversaries from buying our farmland. Senator Chuck Grassley, when asked about Trump's remark, referred to his record on the matter. The Iowa Republican has sponsored a bill with Senator Tammy Baldwin of Wisconsin to address foreign ownership of U.S. farmland. Grassley, in introducing the measure last year, noted potential national security risk of Chinese interests buying agriculture real estate near military installations. Trump's position, especially at a time of growing concern over farm bankruptcies, is already being used by Democrats ahead of the high-stakes midterm elections in November. Based on our recent poll, farmers are worried about rising input costs, volatile commodity prices, tariffs, and the impact that federal policy is having on their farms. That's the word of Mike Amato, founder of Amato Advisors, who previously worked in the Obama and Biden administrations as he spoke with AgriPulse. He said farmers want to stay in business and sell their products to China, not their land. We'll have more AgriPulse Daybreak after this.
Located in Washington, D.C., Watkinson Miller has been providing legal services to the agriculture industry for more than 30 years. The attorneys at Watkinson Miller possess a unique combination of knowledge, skills, and experience working with commodity boards and their partner organizations and the U.S. Department of Agriculture. Watkinson Miller is proud to serve the agriculture community by delivering top-quality legal services that achieve cost-effective results.
Welcome back to AgriPulse Daybreak. Ongoing trade blockages in the Middle East translate to worsening energy shortages in June and July, particularly in Asia. That's the word of Arlen Suderman, chief commodities economist for Stone X Group. He said the bottom line is that there is little evidence that the Strait of Hormuz will open anytime soon, Suderman said in a note yesterday. The fertilizer story is more of one for the 2027 global crop cycle with some localized exceptions. Separately, Senator Chuck Grassley of Iowa said he'll be pressing the Trump administration to lift tariffs on ammonia and sulfur as American farmers continue to contend with soaring fertilizer prices. Grassley also reiterated that countervailing duties on phosphate imports from Morocco need to be removed. Mosaic doesn't need the protection, Grassley said. The Senate voted 50-47 to advance a resolution that would compel President Trump to end the war in Iran or obtain congressional approval to continue the conflict. Republicans voting to move ahead with the measure, Senators Bill Cassidy of Louisiana, Susan Collins of Maine, Lisa Murkowski of Alaska, and Rand Paul of Kentucky. All Democrats voted in favor except Senator John Fetterman. Three Republicans, Senator John Cornyn of Texas, Tommy Tuberville of Alabama, and Tom Tillis of North Carolina, did not vote. Now keep in mind, even if the House also agreed to the resolution, Trump would be expected to veto it. But Democrats said it was a sign that support for the war is weakening. Kentucky Congressman and frequent critic of President Trump, Representative Thomas Massie, has lost the Republican primary for his House seat to Ed Galloran, a farmer and former Navy SEAL who had been endorsed by the president. With 96% of the votes counted as of last evening, Galloran had secured 54.8%. That's according to the Associated Press. In the meantime, Massie, a former engineer who has held that seat since 2012, had gotten 45.2% of the vote. Here's today's final word. Nothing is going to help more than getting the Iran war over. That's Senator Chuck Grassley of Iowa on how to help farmers struggling with high fertilizer prices. Well, that's Daybreak for this Wednesday, May 20th, brought to you by Watkinson Miller and Dairy Management Incorporated. For the latest news out of Washington, D.C., visit AgriPulse.com. For AgriPulse Daybreak, I'm Chuck Talley.